You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray. Alongside me in the studio is Stevie Nicol. And a little later on, we're going to be hearing from Julie Foudy as we talk US Women's National Team, what's ahead for them, and Title IX as well. But we will start with the news of some potential moves in the transfer market. Frankie de Jong said to have begun negotiating personal terms with Manchester United over his potential transfer from Barcelona. As we now welcome in Julien Laurent, Frank Leboeuf, and Luis Garcia to talk more about this. And I will start with you, Jules. What's the latest on this situation here?
The latest is that it seems the clubs have found an agreement around €85 million, around that amount, 65 transfer fee plus 20 million around bonuses and clauses in the contract. It seemed that Frankie de Jong, who at the beginning certainly was not too keen on moving to Manchester, mostly because there will be no Champions League football next season, is keen now, and his agent is starting to negotiate with the club. Obviously, he worked with Ten Hag before. They know each other really well. So this one makes sense, but it seems that we're far closer now to a move that we've ever been at times this summer. So if you're a Manchester United fan, you must be really positive if you're a Barcelona fan. However, this is not really the deal that the club wanted originally. They wanted up to €100 million. Remember, now if it's only 65 plus the add-ons, it's not as good of a deal than the €100 million one.
Yeah, maybe not as good as a deal, Luis. But do you think for Barcelona it's the right move to let him go, given that it still does bring some money, if not what they wanted, at least some money into the club?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I think the most important for Barcelona, even though that Xavi mentioned last year that he was a key player for his project, he was a very important midfielder because he gives you something different, something that normally Barcelona doesn't have. That is that kind of player who can move around. But at the moment, in the way that Barcelona sees the future, I think it's the moment to sell a player who I think that is one of the best midfielders in Europe. But because of the situation, economic situation of Barcelona, they need to get some money because there is a long queue waiting of these players that Barcelona wanted to sign. We have to talk and mention Kessié, that he was talked last year that he will join Barcelona, but still not allowed to be signed by the club. We mentioned also Lewandowski. We mentioned Christensen from Chelsea. There is another two, Alonso and Azpilicueta. They are waiting to see if Barcelona is allowed to sign more players because of the fair of football. You know that the salary cap in Spain at the moment is quite tough, and Barcelona cannot sign any more players until they release a little bit of the amounts that they are spending. So I think it's a perfect moment to sell this player, even though that is not the best deal, but at least to start signing and build what is going to become the project of Xavi Hernandez.
Let's talk then, Luis, about the type of player that Manchester United could be getting in Frankie de Jong. How do you rate him? What do you like about him?
Almost everything, because he's one of those total players. He can score goals arriving from second line. He's a box-to-box player. I think that we haven't seen the best of Frankie de Jong when he was at Barcelona just for some periods. He's been in and out. I think the problem that he found is that at Barcelona, normally, what you need to do is to try to keep your position most of the time, try to play around an amount of the space and the ball will arrive to you. But you cannot be running all around and losing your position. That's the way that Barcelona played for many years. That's the style of play. And it's something that didn't suit to his style of playing for Frankie de Jong. Like we saw about him being a box-to-box when he was playing for Ajax, a player who can have the ball, who can keep the ball in many occasions, who can link with the strikers. And like I said, he can also add some goals and assists when he's in the last third. But the most important is that he's very young, he's very hungry to win trophies. And I think that he wasn't happy in general when he was playing for Barcelona. That's why we didn't see the best of his performances.
Yeah, let's talk about him maybe not being happy playing as often as he would have wanted for Barcelona or the best of his performances. But we just heard from Jules at the top that initially this is not a move that the player himself wanted. With that in mind, is it a good move for Manchester United, knowing that it's a player who wanted Champions League football, who didn't really want to go there in the beginning, to be spending so much money on a player?
Well, listen, it's never bad when you're getting a class player. And there's no question. Frankie de Jong's a class player. I would suggest that Manchester United are going to end up happier than the player himself, because I think when the player himself gets to United and sees what's around him, then he's going to ask questions about whether he made the right move. You know, as I said, it's always great to get a world-class player, but if you look around the United side right now, you know, where do you play him? You know, the best teams in the Premier League have a defensive midfielder sitting in front of the back four. And everybody says, including me, that his best position is in front of a back four and playing from there. But you can't do that in the Premier League if you're going to compete at the very top. So what do you do with him? Do you play him further up? Defensively, he's not the best. So now you're back in the same problem of teams getting at Manchester United through the middle of the park. So that doesn't sound like a great, you know, coming from me, that sounds as though this is a mistake. But it's tough to say it's a mistake, really, because he's a great player and United need players and you have to start somewhere.
What do you think his best position is, Luis?
It's tricky. It depends of if you're going to play the way that you're going to play, the style of play. I think he can suit very well when you play with two in the middle. So he can have the freedom to go forward because of his pace, his power. He's got a fantastic speed when he's on the ball. He can break lines. But if you play him as a holding midfielder, as Steve is just mentioning, it's a little bit tricky because he normally loses position because of his boldness to go forward. He grabs the ball and start breaking lines. But if you're going to play as a holding midfielder, you have to keep the position sometimes and not allow these kind of gaps. And teams knows about that. If you're going to play him on the next to one holding midfielder, that's where Barcelona has been trying to play him. But I think that he wasn't happy. He wasn't enjoying because he couldn't have that freedom he needs. So it's going to be tricky. He, Ten Hag, knows him very well, knows that he's got a massive potential if you can use it in the right position. But I think you can use it the best way, playing with two midfielders, being him, the one who's got more freedom to go forward.
Just hearing, Frank, what the guys are saying here, could there be some similarities with Pogba in that you could be getting a player that you're not going to be able to get the best out of?
That might be the possibility, Kay. And, of course, you have to find him the right position in order to get the best out of him. And that's the main concern when you have players who play box-to-box but not really real defenders like Pogba is as well, or is not. But I want to believe that there is a future and a bright future for Frankie de Jong. I mean, the talent is there, and it's due to the coach to find the right positioning. And with Mike Tomine, or I don't know, some others, Fred, I don't know who's going to play behind him or alongside him, that guy can bring something special. You know, I'm also... Well, I think it's a very good signing for Manchester United. According to what we saw the last two seasons, it's a good signing for Manchester United. I don't know if it's a good choice for Frankie de Jong. Did he have the choice of getting somewhere else? I don't know. It's strange for a player with this talent to not being able to find, you know, a club who plays the Champions League or play clubs who fight for winning the title, which is not the case for Manchester United. You signed for Manchester United because of the history of Manchester United, but not because of the last 2 years' performances, that's for sure.
Do you agree with that, Jules?
Yeah, I think maybe he wants to be part of the project of taking this team back to the top with a manager, like we said, who knows him really well, who will play him in the right position. I agree with the boys. I think he needs to receive the ball deeper than he used to at Barcelona. But Busquets was there at Barcelona, so he had to play higher up. I don't think this suits him. And it will depend a lot on who plays alongside him. I think there's little doubts of the fact that he will that Ten Hag brings him to the club to play him in his best position. So then it all depends what's around him, who plays next to him. Do they have to go and sign someone else, maybe more physical, who can do a bit more of the defending that he might not be able to do? But then on the ball, there's maybe no one better than him in that squad. So it'd be very interesting to see how that works, what the formation is, and again, who plays next to him. But for sure, he's not signing to win trophies next season, because I don't think that's going to happen. They're still too far behind Liverpool and City and even Chelsea and clubs like that. So he will have to be part of that rebuilding work and that rebuilding project. And maybe that's why he was not so keen at the beginning, but maybe Ten Hag sold him that project and be a keeper in that project. And maybe now he fancies it.
Sticking with players who could be on the move at Barcelona, maybe staying put. Ousmane Dembele's agent is said to have flown into Barcelona ahead of a key week of negotiations concerning the player's future. A headline there on Sport, final decision for Dembele. So I'll stick with you again, Jules, here. What's the latest on this situation?
Yeah, that's right. Moussa Sissoko is in Barcelona right now. We saw him in town today. He has meetings scheduled with Barcelona, which, to go back to what Luis was saying earlier, the fact that you sell Frankie de Jong, that money there will be able to maybe offer a better contract, maybe a new deal to Ousmane Dembele that maybe he might take. He will certainly enable you to register the likes of Kessié and Christensen and maybe try to get Lewandowski or try to get Bernardo Silva or try to get Rafinha. But certainly for Dembele, I think the Dembele camp expects something a bit better than the last offer that Barcelona had. If Barcelona can't offer more or don't want to offer more, I think there might be suitors with more money in the Premier League, like a club like Chelsea, for example, or even maybe Manchester United. So I think this is where it is at now. I think there's a big poker game, of course, between Ousmane Dembele's camp and Barcelona and Joan Laporta. And I think this week will be the key, because then you can't wait too long. Everybody is starting their pre-season. Dembele needs a club. And they have to make a decision at some point.
Yeah, Luis, obviously there's a lot of talk about Xavi wanting the player to stay. What do you think should happen here? Should Barca fight to keep him, or is it better to let him go?
It's a key question, and I think a lot of people is trying to understand if this Dembele that we saw in the last 3 months of La Liga and Champions League is the Dembele you're going to find in the next coming years. It's, a lot of people is saying that they should be allowed to leave because he has so many problems, he couldn't adapt. Bad behaves when he arrived to Barcelona that lead him to get a lot of injuries. But if I have to be there and make a decision, I will do whatever it takes to keep him in. I think he's one of a kind player. This kind of player you cannot find in anywhere else. He's a player who could cost 100 million in the next coming 2 years. And I think that he wants to stay, definitely. Because if he doesn't want to stay, why is he waiting for the last moment? He could have signed in January and say, listen, at the end of my contract, I'm going to sign for this team or I'm going to join this team. And they haven't said anything. I think they've been waiting at the last moment because the understanding between Laporta, the president of Barcelona, and his agent, they are trying to see if there is a way to bring that money, the wages that they is expecting from this, from Frankie de Jong selling or from another player or from finding a way to keep him. But I think it's going to be tricky. We're going to have to wait until this week to see what happened. But I think that this week he has to be because of Frankie de Jong living in Barcelona and seeing Dembele, probably another couple of players signing for the club.
Frank, I know we've spoken about this before, but did I just see you throw your arms up in the air?
Yes, yes, you so clearly, Kay, and I was listening to Luis, and I hear him, and I understand what people think, but I think my vision of football is different than maybe the modern time where, you know, if I would be a general manager, I would count when I see a player on consistency, certainty. And when I see about Ousmane Dembele, and I saw the first page, when I see decision today or soon, with all the badges of big clubs, you know, willing to sign Ousmane Dembele, they're big clubs where clearly are looking for hopes and uncertainties because it's what we have with Ousmane Dembele. So yes, the past 3 months have been good, but you are ready to give lots of money, lots of hopes, lots of many things that you can provide to him because of the 3 months that he spent? at Barcelona or because of the 2 years, 3 years, maybe 4 years before? I'm sorry, with all due respect, with all the quality that he has, I will have so many question marks that I will wonder before signing him. So if somebody has an answer and can tell me that for the next 2 years, Dembélé is going to be the best, like he has been the past 3 months, I'm signing. Otherwise, not sure about that.
What are your thoughts on that, Luis, what Frank's just responded?
No, I totally understand. And that's why I'm saying that there is a lot of people that doesn't have that trust on a player who has been injured for so many times. And I totally understand. But after what I've seen, not getting injured, giving so much for a team that probably could be on his way out, and waiting for until the last game, we could see how professional he was, how committed he was with a team that he was struggling to get results. We don't have to put on the side that this Barcelona got some results, but there were some games they couldn't achieve what they were expecting, or Xavi was expecting. And we are talking about Barcelona. We've seen Barcelona spending so much money on players that when they arrive to Barcelona, it's a different club. It's a lot of pressure, a very demanding club. You need to adapt. And we've seen Ferran Torres cost a fortune to arrive to a team that speak the language, know the players, know the teammates. And I think that we haven't seen yet. Why? Because he hasn't adapted to the pressure and the expectation of 100,000 people watching you play and expecting the best of the best. Not only scoring goals, but playing well and bringing that flair that is needed to play at Barcelona. So a player who proved that he's committed to the team, a player who showed that he wants to become better and better, is not going to cost you 50 million, because definitely Dembélé, even though he hasn't played that much, 13 assists in the last season, is quite very impressive. Even though we expect a lot more from him, but it's quite an impressive season. I think there is a player who definitely, in my opinion, every single team will love to have. We'll have to wait to see what happens. And hopefully, finger crossed, that he can keep that consistency that you are mentioning, Fran. But for me, one of the best players in Europe by far, because you don't have speed that of that kind. You don't have players with 2 feet. You don't have players who can score, who can assist, and who can beat players for fun. That's very difficult. Very difficult to find those details. Well, of course, you can find them by 100 million you have to pay.
Well, let's touch on what Luis said there. Many teams would love to have him for Ousmane Dembélé. I just want to point out some of the suitors that are on that front page. Chelsea, Bayern, PSG and Liverpool.
No, thanks. No, thank you.
Why not?
Why not? It's taken 5 years for us to talk about him as a football player. 5 years. What happened to the other four years and 9 months? Is it a good 3 months? Is it a good 3 months? I'll tell you why. Because his contract's up. You couldn't trust this guy. And a guy, you know, Klopp's already shown with Saka a few years ago, if you don't behave yourself, you're out the door. So why would Klopp bring in somebody who he knows more than likely is going to be late for meetings, late for training, late for the boss, late for this, not turn up for this, be injured? Why would you invest in this guy? You'd be crazy. Why would Liverpool want to bring in a problem? Because that's what you're doing. You're bringing a problem in. You know, I mean, no offence, Luis, but I wasn't sure who you were talking about there when you were describing him. I thought we were talking about Messi or something like that.
I think it's fair to say Stevie's not a fan there, lads.
No, thank you very much, yeah.
But we did hear Jules mention a little bit earlier Robert Lewandowski, and there's been some updates there with that situation. The higher-ups at Bayern apparently have agreed to a sale for the player. They've been in meetings in Mallorca. Nice work if you can get it, eh? How important would it be, Jules, for Barcelona to get a player like Lewandowski?
Well, if you can get the best striker of the last 5 years in Europe, in the world, then of course you go for it, even at his age, because we know that he looks after himself so well that I don't think age is an issue here. Maybe you look at the Aubameyang deal, although it didn't cost Barcelona so much, and he still has another year left on his contract, and you wonder why you would have signed him for 18 months and then go straight after for Lewandowski. But if you can go and get Lewandowski, if you can convince Bayern to sell and him to join you, then of course, I think any clubs would who needs a striker will go and sign Robert Lewandowski. So this one is a no-brainer. We can always debate if he really fits in what Xavi wants to do, if he fits in the Barcelona side in the way he plays. But there's no doubt that they have to do with more goals. Because last season, we mentioned Ferran Torres, maybe struggling at times, not so much to adapt, but certainly to convert and be clinical in front of goal. Aubameyang had some good games, but also went for a few games without scoring. With Lewandowski, you don't have those problems. One chance equal one goal. So if you can get him in your team, you know he's going to guarantee you goals. You know that everything you're going to create from Dembele, if he's still there, or Gavi, or Pedri when he's back, or whoever plays wide, and Sufati, that will be converted into a goal. So, of course, you go for it. But as we said, and we have to repeat again, Barcelona don't have a limited amount of money to spend on Robert Lewandowski. They will have to be very clever in how they do that deal if they can do the deal.
Well, that's a good point as well. If they can do the deal, Luis, is it so important that they get him? Will he be the difference maker in making them title contenders? Or is he just filling the gaps and it's maybe a bit of a risk? Financially, obviously.
Yeah, of course. I think that's the main problem. I mean, we've been talking about the money that Barcelona can spend, the players who they can sign. They have to release players to try to cope with this fair play of La Liga. But in my opinion, if you can sign Lewandowski, even though that he's going to turn up 34 in a month, he's a player who is going to deliver straight away. He's a player who is a killer inside the box. He's going to score you goals. And having a player who has scored 25, 30 goals every single season is something that you want to have in your team. That straight away puts you in a contender to any single trophy. Much more when you can have Dembele putting crosses in one side and MVP Depay and Ansu Fati in the other side. I think having players who can cross the ball, who can give you that, we've seen what Aubameyang with Dembele has been doing in the past few months. I mean, he's been scoring his goals for fun, arriving in that kind of situations where Barcelona is so dangerous near post, and that's a player that when he's inside the box is so dangerous. So if there is any chance, I'm sure that Barcelona is going to try to sign him. Once again, we go to the same point. Are they going to be allowed to do it? I think it's going to be very tricky to try to deal with all this because apart from a striker, Barcelona is trying to sign players in the middle, players at the back. So it's going to be very difficult to try to put that mess together.
Oh, well, we will continue to talk about all the latest moves and rumours in the transfer market on tomorrow's show. Don't forget, a little reminder that we are available 7 days a week here on ESPN FC. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Let's talk about Real Madrid's Rodrigo, set to sign a new contract with a cool 1 billion release clause. And it's not just his club with their faith in him, but Neymar too. On his expectations, Rodrigo revealed that Neymar said to me, Soon I'm leaving the national team and the 10 is yours. I didn't even know what to say to him. I was embarrassed, I giggled, and I didn't even know what to say properly. Zidane said that one day I would be the best in the world. Well, let's talk a little bit with Jules and Luis about Rodrigo and the future that he has here as well. Now, we've been seeing, obviously, particularly last season, some of the best of Rodrigo and everything that he's got to offer, Luis. But it still feels as though when we talk about Brazilian forwards right now at Real Madrid, it's Vini Jr.'s name that comes up first. But with Rodrigo in mind, with what we've just seen, what he revealed from Neymar, how good is he?
Guys, actually, I'm not sure if it's nice to say the here or not, but for me, for example, it's been always about Rodrigo. I prefer Rodrigo than Vinicius Jr. And that's something that, again, and Frank mentioned it before, is about the way that I see football. I prefer a player who is more about the game itself. Rodrigo is so good. His ability to dribble players is fantastic, very accurate. His touch is fantastic. He knows. He can play in so many different places. We've seen play on the right, on the left, in the middle, even behind the strikers. His ability to adapt is also very good. But he's eager to score goals. He's not worried about trying to make one skill more or one skill less. It's about how quick can I arrive to the box, how quick can I arrive to the goal and score. I don't care if I put a top corner. We can see here a couple of images where he's not trying to make it put in the top corner. It's about putting into the net, and he's so good at that. It's true that we saw the best of Rodrigo in the last part of the campaign for Real Madrid, but he was vital. In a couple of games, he was key to score a goal. We remember the knockout stages of Champions League, but also in La Liga. When he got minutes, he got better and better. There was nothing on the stage, so he could actually show everything that he's got, and it was just fantastic. And I understand that a lot of people will say, no, but Vinicius is faster, and he's got a lot more ability on the dribbling. But Vinicius, when he's free, he needs always someone next to him. That's why they made a fantastic partnership with Benzema. But Rodrigo by himself, he can be so dangerous. So, yeah, I expect a lot from him from the coming years.
You know, I think there's a lot of things that are going for Rodrigo. The first thing I loved was his answer about being embarrassed. I mean, that tells you that he's got a great attitude. Tells you his head's not in the clouds and his feet are firmly on the ground. And to Luis's point, I love the fact that what he does is, when he comes on, he just plays what happens in front of him. He doesn't come on with any preconceived ideas of what he's going to try and do or what I'm going to do. He plays the game and he plays the hand that the game gives him. And to have such a talent to be able to do that at such a young age is brilliant. And the last thing, and I think it's going to be really important for him, is everything seems to be on Vinny Jr. now. So I think that's great, because that means that Rigo, I think, can just play himself along and mature and get his time without too much pressure and let Vinny take it all. So all of these things together, this guy's a player.
We're just seeing as well, obviously, with some of the moves out of Real Madrid that we've seen, Jules, there's really a chance for Rodrigo to very much establish himself further in this team. And when we are hearing about a 1 billion release clause, was there a fear that they may be losing him?
No, I don't think so. Release clauses, you know, obviously have to be included in contract in Spanish football. They don't really mean anything. No one is expected the club to pay a billion euro for Vinicius, by the way, who has the same release clause, or for Rodrigo. This is just a number, pretty much, that they put. Of course, Neymar left for his release clause, but no one is going to pay a billion ever. The interesting thing about Rodrigo, one, is a bit younger than Vinicius. Two, I agree with Luis, he's a more complete player than Vinicius. But then there's a difference between being an impact player and a super sub, if you want, which is really what Rodrigo was last season, the season that just finished, and being an established starter and delivering every game, or pretty much every game, and finding that consistency and that maturity in your game. When you come on for the last 20, 25 minutes and Real Madrid are one goal down, you can play with far more freedom than if you start and it's nil-nil and you can't make any mistake, and the structure of your game has to be a little bit different. So let's see how much he adapts. But if Asensio leaves, which we expect him to go this summer, with Eden Hazard, you know, not really, we don't really know where he is right now. Gareth Bale has gone. So this is his place now. Him and Valverde, I think, could rotate depending on who the opposition is and what kind of competition it is. And if Carlo Ancelotti wants a slightly more defensive player or more attacking player, but then there will be more game time for Rodrigo, and then he will have to step up. And the next level is that. The next level is being a starter at Real Madrid, which is not easy. We saw that with Vinicius, who took time to find the maturity in his game to be able to be as consistent as he was this season. So it'll be very interesting to see how he copes with that.
Yeah, just to follow up with that, Luis, what is the difference there from being a super sub who comes on and makes a big difference to being a regular starter at a side?
No, of course, it's totally. I totally agree with Jules. I think it's very difficult to start every single week for Real Madrid and deliver, because at the moment that you are not delivering what the manager is expecting from you, after 2 weeks you're dropped and there is someone else is expecting to get your position. But I think it's been very difficult also for him. Is when you got a small amount of minutes to play and show that you got talent, it's not easy at all, because you have to deliver every single time. It doesn't matter if you got 10, 20 or 30 minutes and you get into the game playing for Real Madrid, and you know that you have to show something. You have to score a goal, or you have to give assists or not losing balls, and there is a lot of pressure on that for a young age like he is, that he's been there 21, 22 years old, and have to deliver in short spaces, because I think that never we've seen 10 games in a row playing for Rodrigo where you feel the confidence of saying, listen, you're going to go there. It doesn't matter if you miss a chance for the next couple of 3 weeks. You're going to have the start of Real Madrid. When you play for 30 minutes, you know that you cannot have a chance. You cannot miss a chance. You're going to have one and you have to put it in. You're going to keep the ball twice and you cannot lose it, because if you lose it, the manager is going to say, hey, he's not ready. He's not ready. So it's not easy to play for just a short time. And when he done last year, getting both in 30 minutes, scoring goals, it being important goals, key goals in certain moments, I think that's why we all kind of call it, have an eye on him for the past few months, because I think it was very important for Real Madrid in the last part of the competition. But definitely this season is the one that he has to show up and say, listen, I'm here, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to be important as the other contenders.
And as you mentioned, Luis, the path could be clearing for him to do so as well. You did say that Marco Asensio could be on his way out. What more do you know about this situation?
Yes, definitely. I think Asensio at the moment is a player who needs a challenge. He's a player who has been at Real Madrid for so long. He's got so many highs and lows. As at the moment, he's been a very important player for this Real Madrid club. But at the moment, I think that he lost that anger to play for Real Madrid anymore. And sometimes that happens. You don't feel important into the 11 starter. You start losing minutes. He had a very bad injury who cost him the starting 11. And at the moment, I think what he needs is to try to find his way. He knows that he's the World Cup in November. He needs minutes, and he started feeling that because of Rodrigo introduction last year, because of Valverde also getting involved in that position in certain games, he's going to lose more minutes, and he doesn't want to lose a chance of playing the World Cup. So probably it's a very important moment for him. He needs to make a change and try to find another challenge where he can feel comfortable and happy playing.
How's the immediate future looking for Marco Asensio, Jules? What do we know?
Well, we know that AC Milan are really the team right now who are the most interested in him. He will fit perfectly in what they do, and the way he plays would fit that team so well. The problem is, of course, the money. Again, AC Milan don't have much money to spend, or certainly the way they do their business is quite structured and quite disciplined in a way. And I think right now, the valuation of the player from a Real Madrid point of view and from an AC Milan point of view are a little bit apart. So if they can meet somewhere in the middle or find an agreement, I think this is a challenge that I think could be interesting. He would meet Brahim Diaz again, for example. So it would be not completely lost in the dressing room. They would have people that he knows there, people who speak Spanish too. And again, I think this is the kind of young team that plays in the Champions League, that would play to win Serie A title again. I think this is something that could really fit in what he wants to do in the stage of his career right now. But again, the two clubs have to find an agreement. We're not talking much different, 30 million to 40 million. So there's certainly, surely there's a way that they can find if they really want that deal to happen.
One of the other moves that we have been hearing about is Luis Suarez potentially going to River Plate. Word had been that he had wanted to stick around in Europe, particularly in La Liga. But it does look as though we could be hearing some news on this very soon. What do you know here, Jules?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think Luis wanted to stay in Europe for at least a season, maybe even two. There's obviously the World Cup, but not for him and not for Uruguay. So this is very important season for him at his age after the season that he's had in Atletico Madrid. I think River Plate losing Julian Alvarez with Marcelo Gallardo as the manager is a very appealing proposition for someone like Luis Suarez to go back to South America, of course, as well. And also to, there will be a World Cup for him, but to prepare for the World Cup, maybe it's not a bad idea actually to go back towards home instead of staying in Europe and play for a club in Europe that maybe doesn't have the standard that, Luis Suarez would expect even at his age, even if he only has one knee, for example, and physically he's not at his best and will never be again at his best. But maybe that's something that appeals to him a bit more than, finding a mid-table club in Europe, for example.
Even at his age, Stevie, how good is Luis Suarez?
Well, you still don't want to play against him. Let me put it that way. Clearly, he doesn't get around the field the way he used to. But any chance he steps on the field, I can assure you, nobody wants to play against him. That's probably where he is right now in his career. As Joe says, when you go physically, it's tough. But he does have desire. He's always got the fire. He's always got anger. So all of these things he makes up with that he doesn't have in his legs. But unfortunately, that means that he's going to play at a level where he's going to be playing to enjoy the game, if nothing else.
He's going to enjoy things if he goes to River Plate, isn't he, Luis? What do you think of Luis Suarez and what he should do?
No, definitely. I think that when you arrive at the last stage of your career, what you want is to feel important into the pitch, to feel comfortable, to enjoy, like you guys are saying. I think it was a very tough year, last one at Atletico in Madrid, with a couple of injuries, not getting involved as much as he was expecting. And I think, as you said, you prefer to go to a different position, different country, where you are not going to be on the spotlight every single moment. He knows that Europe has watched the best of his career, a total striker, one of the best finishers that I ever seen on the game. And with that experience, going back there to South America, it could be one of the most important players to arrive, because that experience, with the talent that he's got and with the hunger that he always has when he's on the field, he's a total professional, and he's always trying to improve every single year, even though that he realized that at the moment, fitness-wise, is not at his best because of his age, like everybody arriving to these last stages. He's one of the best strikers we've seen, and hopefully we can continue seeing him on the field, because he always brings something different, and hopefully we can still see a lot of goals next year.
He's still not our favourite, Luis, here on ESPN FC, though. Thanks so much for being with us, Luis Garcia. We'll speak to you again very soon.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Okay, La Liga is back. Opening weekend, August 13th, 14th. These are the games that you will be able to enjoy. Barcelona taking on Rayo Vallecano. Almeria, newly promoted, taking on Real Madrid. Make sure you tune in. All of these matches are available on ESPN+.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
50-50, honoring 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward.
The U.S. women's national team returned to a second of a two-game set against Colombia, another friendly but good preparation for their CONCACAF World Cup Championship qualifying coming up in July. 3-0, it finished on Saturday night. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, you can see if it is a similar performance from the women. And we're delighted to now welcome back to the show Julie Foudy. Julie, all dressed up with a nice little cap. I wouldn't mind one of those myself. But where actually are you right now?
You don't want to be in a high school boarding school dorm room right now, okay? Come on, you can come work for us. I'm actually at our Julie Foudy and ESPNW Sports Leadership Academy, which we run every year at the Petty School in New Jersey. And so we are immersed with 165 girls from 13 different countries. It's really cool. We do sports and leadership together, soccer, basketball, lacrosse. Very fun. So you're getting me in full camp attire in a beautiful dorm room.
I love it. Well, I'm hoping to see you next month, Julie. So I want one of those caps when you come. I want to be representing. Listen, this game against Colombia for the women, it's the final game before World Cup qualifying gets underway. But what we're seeing is around, 13 players making their World Cup / Olympic debut when it comes to these qualifying rounds. With that in mind, who are you going to be looking out for to stand out during the process?
I think the two that everyone, not just me, is looking out for is Mal Pugh and Sophia Smith. They've been so good in NWSL for the respective teams this year in the professional league. And of course, without Kat Macario, who injured her ACL up front, I think Alex Morgan isn't of the younger squad, but she's one that is finally back into the fold, is going to be someone that players are looking to. But those two young players in Mal Pugh and Sophia Smith, there's a ton of excitement about them and what they can do as they head into these qualifiers.
Well, one player who needs no introduction and has plenty of experience on the international stage is Megan Rapinoe. She had an assist in the game on Saturday night against Colombia. What do you think, Julie? Can you see her actually playing in a fourth World Cup next year?
You know, Kay, if you had asked me that even just 1 month ago, 2 months ago, I would have said, no, I do not see it happening, because she hasn't really been playing. I mean, this was a surprise announcement on this roster. In fact, because she hasn't been playing much with her OL Reign, her professional team, because of injury. She only had like 150 minutes on the season. And so it was a big surprise. But when you hear head coach Vlatko Andonovski talk about her, you can see why. He has said, even said today on a press conference, he said what she gives to the team in terms of confidence and swagger and presence and stability, most of all, as you mentioned, 13 young players, is what he wants. I don't think she's going to get a ton of minutes, but with that praise you're hearing from him in terms of how she's embraced this role, it'll be a totally different new role if she does go to this fourth World Cup. But I can see her, because she is an excellent leader and a great teammate, as we know, I can see her embracing that role and playing a part in this fourth World Cup.
Oh, what a legend. We very much look forward to that. Now, let me remind our viewers that this month with ESPN, it is 50-50 month, honoring and exploring the first 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward. ESPN Films presents 37 Words, which is a series on the history and impact of Title IX. Julie, you actually feature in this next episode, which is airing Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Here's a look ahead to that.
The conditions for the national teams in the 80s and the 90s were not good. You know, you wore men's uniforms and We kept saying in the early years is you'd stay in another Roche hotel, and literally Roche hotels, you know, we'd be in countries and like wake up to roaches falling on you. And we'd be like, ah, it's just building character. And then you get to a point where you're like, no, it's coming out of my eyeballs. I've got so much character. And then you start hearing stories about the men staying at the Ritz-Carlton or these five-star hotels and how they travel. And we're hearing they have three massage therapists. We have none, you know. And it was of the mindset of, you have a team, you should be grateful that we even have a women's national team. We haven't had that. So just be happy and say thank you, young girl. You should be grateful. That's what I was told all the time.
Wow, amazing stuff. Julie will feature, as you just saw there, in the next episode, which is airing on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And just what you heard about there, Title IX being a civil rights law that was passed in 1972. And what we were seeing there from you, Julie, in that clip is what we're talking 20 years on then, 25 years on. And this is what you were still enduring, despite the fact that this had been passed. Now look at it. We're another quarter of a century on, and yes, there have been some big improvements, and yes, there have been some big steps forward, particularly in the last year, but there is still a lot to be done, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's this mixed feeling of, we're of course super grateful and super happy that we've made such progress, but you also know at the same time that it's been such a long slog and there's still much more to do. So yes, we celebrate, but we also stay vigilant, as we know in this country, and make sure that we protect the right for girls and women to play sports and also to get an education. And that's the equality that Title IX has fought for so many years.
Obviously, and it's something that you share with other fellow former athletes. Recently on your Laughter Permitted podcast, it was great to listen to actually you speaking to big names from the USA hockey world, from the rugby world as well, to share their experiences too and talk about Title IX and how it affected things. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, we did a live podcast just this Friday, actually, in New York City. It was super fun. Angela Ruggiero, a Hall of Famer from the women's ice hockey team, Olympic gold medalist. And then Phaedra Knight, Hall of Famer, world rugby player as well with USA. We had Mia Hamm on doing an episode. You've heard of her. So, yeah, we've done some bonus episodes on this. And it honestly is something that people don't know enough about, even young women, young girls. And so as much as we can, I think, educate them on one of the most profound civil rights laws we've had in this country. I mean, it's been such a boost for women and women in sports that we should be talking more about it.
Julie, it's great to see you. It's great to hear from you as well. And thanks for being with us on ESPN FC. We do remind everybody to go and check out Julie's latest podcast, Laughter Permitted. And you'll be seeing a lot more of Julie during the Women's Euro, which kicks off on July 6th. You can watch every game live here across the network on ESPN. Make sure you join us for that. And also make sure you head over to our website. ESPN FC has ranked the 50 best female footballers in the world today. Definitely worth a look at, especially ahead of the Women's Euros.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Always got the football for you here on ESPN FC. That's why you should join us 7 days a week. We answer your tweets as well, and we're going to be doing that next, so stick around and we'll see you there to do that. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Kay Murray and Stevie Nicol in the studio, and we've got two Frenchmen along for the ride as well. Jules Laron and Frank Leboeuf is here too, as we talk more about some of the tweets that you guys have been sending in. and you guys will be answering them. We're going to start with a question about Manchester City. I'm going to come to you on this, Stevie. Should City get someone in, brackets winger, once Jesus and Sterling leave? Depending on Cole Palmer is too risky, given they will want to compete on all fronts.
No, not at all. Pretty much two out, two in, if you're including Palmer. But they've got a centre-forward now. So they're still going to have plenty of players to call on. Foden, Grealish, Mahrez, Palmer. I mean, how many players do you need? So, no, not at all. Not at all. And I think it's a smart move getting Palmer involved and getting him more time while they still have plenty of cover. And when I say plenty of cover, I'm talking about world-class players. So, no, I think they're fine, City.
All right. Jules, is Arsenal ready to challenge the big teams for the Champions League spot next season after they spent on Jesus?
I think so, and I think Gabriel Jesus is not the end of their transfer window at all. I think there will be more activity, certainly. I don't know if they will get all the players they want, but certainly there will be more activity, more effort on their part. Challenge Champions League places, of course, they were challenging last season with a squad that was not as good as the one that they're building up now for this season. Challenging City and Liverpool, no, but challenging to finish third or fourth, definitely. So I think what they're doing is very, very interesting, certainly going the right way and the right dynamic. But you have to say that City and Liverpool, of course, are still ahead. But for the others, I think it will be playing field for sure.
Frank, why are you laughing?
No, because I thought, Jules would not put Liverpool and City out of the race, you know, comparing to the others. Now that he did that, agree with him. I totally agree with him. I think with Jesus, they're more capable of getting the Champions League spot, but they need more signings to be more comfortable, I would say.
We're just warming you guys up tonight because there's a few questions where both of you have been asked it, and this is the first of those. Frank and Jules, it seems like both Sven Botman and Naif Aged will transition from Ligue 1 to the Premier League. How good are they, and will they be able to transition successfully? Jules.
I think they're two amazing talents, slightly different players, although they're both left-footed, but two of the best centre-backs we had last season in Ligue 1. They both had a little injury at some point, which I think didn't give them in the end the full season and the perfect season almost, but when they were playing, they were both fantastic. I mean, I think West Ham, this is a really good coup from them because he's elegant, he's quick, he's tall, he's good on the ball, he's clever, he's really pretty amazing at 25 years old. Botman is younger and maybe less of an experience, for example, for the national team compared to Aged, but he's so strong, he's good on the ball. This is the Ajax schooling of defenders again. And there's still some improvement to do for both of them in the Premier League, especially because it will be faster than in Ligue 1. But I think the two are outstanding signings for Newcastle and West Ham.
Who's the better signing, Jules?
Well, it's hard. It's really hard to pick one ahead of the other. It depends really what you want. I think Botman is a stronger physically defender than Aguerd. Aguerd has maybe a little bit more pace, so certainly on the turn he's a little bit quicker than Botman. They're two really good ball-playing centre-backs, and again, both left-footed, which I think is really key here. I think they're really rare, those left-footed ball-playing centre-back, and you have two in there. I don't know, slightly cheaper, Aguerd, and again, I think more experience in the sense that, for example, he's played African Cup of Nations, he's going to go to the World Cup. I don't know if Botman will go to the World Cup, but certainly doesn't have the same experience. But again, he's younger than Aguerd in terms of international football. I don't know. I like Botman a lot, but Aguerd is also a really good signing.
Jules answered that so well, Frank. I don't need to get whatever you were going to say.
He answered it so well, he didn't answer it.
But he gave us a...
It was a politician's answer.
No, that part there, but at the very beginning when he had to explain, which is what the question was, that was just me following up to say, what do you think?
Well, he never answered your question. That's all I'm saying.
Look at the referee here, Stevie Nicholl.
Who's the best? That's what you asked, right? And he never told you.
All right, ref. Okay, so, Frank, this is a difficult one that's coming next, but Jules, you're going to have to answer too. Start, bench, and sell.
Oh, no.
Prime Zidane, Prime Platini, or Prime Henri?
When I was young, my idol was Platini, so I will never betray my idol. So I will start Platini. I will bench Zidane, and I will sell. Is that sell? Thierry Henry.
Yep.
You know, it's hard. It's hard because it's unfair because we are talking about fantastic players. But I have to answer that question. And I have to make choices, so they are my choices.
Are you happy with Frank's answer, Stevie? Did he give what was asked of him there?
He certainly did. More, Frank, I would suggest. And more.
Gave the explanation as well.
Yes.
Okay, so Frank.
Jules, that's how you do it, all right?
Just come on, Jules.
The water wall.
You've got to follow up here.
Wow, I agree with Frankie. This is a tough one. I think I agree with him. I think I go exactly the same order. I think Platini, Prime Platini is unplayable because there's the goals as well as the creativity. It's basically, I think, in his prime, and again, we think, you know, this is the 80s, it's a bit of a mix of the sort of clinical ability that Thierry has, or had, and the creativity that Zidane bring, and you had almost that in one player in Michel Platini. So I go Platini, Zidane, and Thierry then.
Okay, right. Next question for all, and I'll start with you, Stevie. Who is that one player that made them fall in love with football?
Oh.
Well, one of them you wouldn't know. I'm a Rangers fan, a Glasgow Rangers fan. So it was a winger called Willie Henderson. So when I started playing, I was a winger. But the other one would be George Best. I had, as soon as the George Best boots came out, my mum got me a pair of them. So, those two guys.
Okay, nice. Guys, I'll go to you, Frank.
Well, we just talked about Michel Platini, and it was a real reference for me in terms of, as you said, creativity and effectiveness as well. And because of the class of the player, Franz Beckenbauer, I followed the last years of his career because I followed the World Cup in 74. It was absolutely fantastic. You know, with the outside of the foot, he was a leader, he was charismatic, and he was good defensively, but the way he was conducting his defense and the whole team was absolutely fantastic.
Speaking of Platini, Frank, didn't you miss an epic game because you went on a date instead?
Yes, that's true. That's true. My father had tickets of the semi-final of the European Championship in 84 in Marseille. And I went for a date. Yeah, well, I was 84. Oh, that was with my ex-wife.
Should have gone to the game, Frank. Anyway, Jules, who made you fall in love with football?
A bit like Stevie, I don't know how many of the viewers we know about Safet Susic. He was the PSG number 10 when I was growing up. He was played for Yugoslavia. He was an incredible talent, so elegant, so good technically on the ball, like a really old school number 10. And then there was the Ginola and Weah Valdo generation, of course, when I was a little bit younger. But yeah, Susic was something very special as a kid to watch.
It's so nice when you hear that. Everybody always has a player, and it often is somebody that people won't know as well as some of the others.
Aye.
Okay, Jules, we know you love your basketball. Next question. What are people in France saying about Victor Wembanyama, the young French basketball player? I would hate to see him end up in Oklahoma City.
I would love him to join the NBA. I'm not sure about the Thunders, but he's an incredible prodigy. He's only 18. But already I think a lot of the NBA franchises have their scouts and their eyes on him for the next draft, because I think he would be, if he chooses to go to the draft, he would be the number one pick. He's 2 meter 15 or 17, I think, and he can shoot 3-pointers almost like Steph Curry. So incredible talent, like talent that you only see once in a generation. And he still has of course, a lot to learn, and he needs to get a bit buffer and more solid physically because he's quite skinny. But he has a hand literally of a point guard and he plays center. So he has an amazing future ahead of him. And I can't wait to see him if he elects for the draft again. I can't wait to see him in the NBA.
Yeah, that's 7'2".
Did you always got to ask, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'll say, who does Jules think he's talking to? 2 meters 15. How about the feet and inches, for goodness sake?
I had a huge faux pas.
I don't know in feet. I don't even know how.
Why it doesn't exist anymore.
7'2".
Yeah, but you tell me 7 foot. For me,
now.
I see 7 foot like this in my head, and it doesn't make any sense.
Well, we were talking about Real Madrid's basketball team once, and I said he's 2.7 metres tall. Didn't realise that I meant 2.07 metres. And my colleague, it wasn't Dan Thomas, went, yes, the size of a small fir tree. So he didn't let me away with that one. Stevie, I'm not going to let you away with the last question. Stevie, Sophie's choice. Shaved head for a year or no shepherd's pie for a year?
Oh, dear.
Come on, Stevie. Come on,
Stevie.
I'll
tell you what. Honestly, I'd rather have no shepherd's pie for a year than have my head shaved like that.
What would you eat?
Oh, What's wrong with you? What do you have? Do you have a problem with me? You don't like me?
Frank, there's a slight difference between you with the bald head and me. People laugh at me. They don't laugh at you. In fact, they swoon when they see you, Frank, as we all do. No, I was so...
Oh, right.
And I couldn't stand everybody laughing at me all the time. As soon as when I got my hair cut and I walked through the door, they all started laughing at me. My grandson, my granddaughter just started laughing. Well, and then my wife started laughing and then followed it with, OK, it's not that bad. Yeah, right.
So, well, the picture you sent Dan... It was just like your head and this bit here. Like
seriously. No, I'm sorry. The shepherd's pie would have to go.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have my hair like that.
I would not have had you down as vain, Stevie, but you learn something new every day on Extra Time.
No, that was bad.
It was bad.
Aye.
It was bad. We would have to endure it too as well, so.
Yeah.
That's better. And obviously the difference between you and Frank is he's won the World Cup. But yeah, so.
Thank you. That's the point.
Just stick it up for Jules because you were going at him.
I don't know if I take it. I don't know if I take it as a compliment, Kay. Whatever, you know.
it's a compliment, Frank.
You know,
it's
I guess he's
you're rocking the ball.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it as a compliment.
All right. Thanks so much for sending in your tweets. We'll be doing it all again
tomorrow.
Make sure you keep on sending those in, and the guys will answer them. We are available 7 days a week here on ESPN FC. Make sure to always join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.